This is your Polycast for Monday, May 2nd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Senate Democrats want a $1.5 billion bonding bill, and lawmakers struggle with rules for police body cameras. Democrats in the Minnesota Senate today proposed $1.5 billion in state borrowing to fund public works construction projects around the state. The proposal includes everything from college campus repairs to wastewater facility upgrades to museum and park enhancements. It's much bigger than the $600 million in general borrowing recommendations the House Republican majority is expected to put forth, and it even exceeds the $1.4 billion bonding bill that DFL Governor Mark Dayton recommended. We'll have much more on the plan and reaction to it here tomorrow. State lawmakers are still struggling with rules for use of police body cameras and access to the footage they capture. The issue got sidelined in the legislature a year ago, and there hasn't been much movement this year either. The state Senate is expected to vote again today on a body camera bill, but it's not clear what will happen next. Brian Baxt has the story.
Later this month, the Minneapolis Police Department will begin deploying the first of the 600 small cameras that all patrol officers on the beat will eventually wear. It'll add Minneapolis to a list of about 40 law enforcement agencies around Minnesota where the body-worn cameras have been introduced to increase transparency and accountability. But according to a state police association, dozens of cities are holding back because there's too much uncertainty about potential state regulations. DFL Senator Ron Latz of St. Louis Park says it's about time lawmakers provide clarity about when the cameras must be turned on, about who gets access to the footage, and about how to maintain the videos. He says another year without an answer will have consequences.
Many police departments will choose not to roll it out in their communities. Other police departments will slow down their rollout because they won't know exactly what rules they're going to have to follow.
Irene Gao has been hearing concerns too as a lawyer at the League of Minnesota Cities. Local officials are looking for a law that balances privacy and one that will foster trust between police and the communities they serve.
Connected to that is then the cost when we're talking about data practices, how to store the data, how long to do it for. And so they're really looking for that guidance before they even implement body cameras.
The Senate bill that Latz is sponsoring would declare much of the footage private unless the recordings occurred in a public place. People who are subject to the videos, including the officers wearing the camera, could get access. There's also an exception making more data public when substantial force or weapons are used by officers. In Burnsville, the first Minnesota city to use body cameras, Police Chief Eric Isicki said he'd like the ability to keep certain things out of the public domain. He cited domestic abuse calls as an example where the data should be more closely held.
It's one thing to read a police report about a contact in someone's home, and it's quite another thing to actually see the inside of someone's home.
Some have argued that putting too much of the video off limits would defeat the accountability purpose and turn the devices merely into surveillance tools. Republican Representative Peggy Scott of Andover is pushing for a requirement for police to gain consent before recording in a home in non-emergency situations.
You know, law enforcement has demands that they want, and the consent piece is a really important piece to me and a lot of other legislators and the general public that I come in contact with. So those are some pretty big, issues to reach consensus on, but I'm hopeful that we can.
The bill the Senate is voting on is nearly identical to one it passed last year, when nothing happened in the House. There was an attempt to tack a body camera provision into the House budget bill last week, but it was ruled out of order. Republican Representative Nick Zerwas of Elk River vented about the impasse on an important public safety matter.
And because of the fact that we haven't found the perfect bill that makes every stakeholder happy, we have done nothing.
Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
When boys in the Twin Cities get into trouble, they're increasingly sent 200 miles north to a private treatment center on Minnesota's Iron Range. With more than 100 beds, Kids Peace Mesabi Academy is Minnesota's largest privately owned correctional facility for boys. American Public Media's new investigative and documentary team, APM Reports, has learned Mesabi Academy received multiple allegations of sex abuse by its staff last year, but the company didn't alert authorities. The investigation reveals a culture of secrecy at Mesabi Academy and a strained relationship with the county that oversees it. Here are two stories from APM Reports, the first from Tom Scheck.
Hola, amigo.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Hey, Mom.
This boy spent more than a year at Mesabi Academy. At the time of this phone call in mid-March, he was locked up again, now at a different juvenile facility. He's 15. Mostly he wants to talk about getting new shoes for the basketball court.
I wish y'all would have got me some Forces or something.
What, don't you like the ones Graham got you?
They not for basketball, Mom.
Oh, sorry.
These is dress shoes.
Oh.
But then, the conversation turned serious. The boy's family had received a letter from St. Louis County. It had investigated an allegation he was sexually abused by a female staffer while he was at Mesabi Academy. The employee denied it when confronted by police. The boy did too. The letter said the county was closing the case, but the boy had told his mom he did have sexual contact with the woman, and his mom told him she wanted the case reopened.
What does that mean?
It means that she's not going to get away with it.
Get away with it, Mom? I never said it was bad. Okay, Mom, I did a year and a month in there. There's no problem with having sex with a staff.
For the boy's mother, it was a problem. If the allegations were true, the staffer had committed a serious crime. St. Louis County did reopen the investigation, but not surprisingly, the boy didn't cooperate.
Mom, I'm telling you, like, I already told you the truth. Like, yes, I did stuff with that staff, but I'm not telling no cop.
St. Louis County determined there wasn't enough evidence to prove abuse occurred. That conclusion was part of a sprawling 6-month investigation into 20 allegations of maltreatment. None of the allegations could be substantiated by county investigators, but the investigation revealed several instances last year where Mesabi Academy received allegations of abuse and didn't alert county authorities. Mesabi Academy is the largest facility of its kind in Minnesota, boys only, privately owned, and licensed by the Minnesota Department of Corrections. The DOC has received an unusually large number of complaints about Mesabi Academy from residents, staff, parents, and others, 64 of them since 2009, far more than any similar facility. In Mesabi Academy's 18-year history, two employees and one volunteer have been charged with sexually abusing kids there. Two pleaded guilty to criminal sexual conduct, the other to a lesser charge. The recent investigation began because of a report from Caroline Mattson. She worked at Mesabi Academy as a client care counselor in 2014 and 2015. In the spring of last year, Mattson says multiple boys came to her with allegations against the same female staffer. Mattson says she reported what they told her to her superiors.
And I told them that I had three youth that were all saying that this staff had been having oral sex with them, and that it needed to be checked out. And the only thing I got in reply was, who are these three youth? After that, I don't know what happened with it.
What happened, according to several current and former employees, was the company conducted an internal investigation. Bob Powers was working there at the time, and he remembers it well.
The supervisors pulled us all aside, asking if you knew anything about it, if you heard anything about it, and I didn't. I was still fairly new, so I didn't even know anybody's names, let alone allegations of anything. But I do remember that.
County, state, and federal records show Mesabi never reported the allegations or the results of its investigation to authorities. It wasn't the only internal investigation of alleged sex abuse and maltreatment at Mesabi Academy last year. St. Louis County discovered three of them. During one such probe, a Mesabi employee told the alleged victim he was being investigated. The boy was told that if nothing came of the investigation, it would not affect his privileges at the academy. The boy denied having sexual contact with the staffer. Mesabi concluded the allegation was unfounded and it didn't alert authorities. But under Minnesota law, it's not up to Mesabi Academy to decide whether an allegation of abuse is true. Ron Solhide is the deputy commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Corrections. He says staff at juvenile facilities must pass those allegations on to county officials for investigation.
Our expectation would be that that facility administration would report that to Child Protection. If we found out that they did not, we would have grave concerns with that, because that does need to get to Child Protection.
But that's not what Mesabi Academy tells its staff. Misabi's training website instructs them to report alleged incidents of sex abuse to the manager on duty, and the manager, quote, will then decide based on the type of incident whether to call police. Todd Willman worked at Misabi for 13 years. He says there was a code of silence when it came to anything that could reflect badly on the company.
They wanted to make sure you kept your mouth shut. You didn't say nothing. And if it was reported outside of the building, your so-called career could be ruined at that point because you'd be fired. And it was also stated that they could make it tough enough where you couldn't find another job.
During the internal investigation into alleged sex abuse last spring, Misabi Academy transferred the accused staffer to a different position, and that might have been the end of it. But in October, 6 months after she says the three boys came to her, Caroline Mattson decided to go to the county. She and Misabi Academy were in a dispute over a workers' compensation claim, but she says that's not why she decided to take her concerns to Child Protection.
The only reason that I'm coming forward is because these kids have gone through enough in their lives that they should have a safe and secure place where they're not being abused by staff, that they are protected and cared for in a proper way. I'm doing this because these kids need somebody to step up.
St. Louis County's investigation into Mattson's report marked the beginning of a tense period in its relationship with Misabi Academy. At least three times, the company flexed its legal and political muscles, and St. Louis County bowed to the pressure. Curtis Gilbert of APM Reports has that part of the story.
With more than 100 employees, Misabi Academy is by far the largest business in Buell. The town of 1,000 residents sits midway between Hibbing and Virginia. Work can be hard to find on the economically depressed Iron Range, but the Academy is almost always hiring.
If you're looking for a career that's more than just a job, consider helping us further our mission of providing hope, help, and healing to children and their families.
Creating jobs was the goal from the start. St. Louis County, along with the state and federal government, helped finance the renovation of an old high school, which had sat mostly vacant for years. County Commissioner Tom Rukavina was a state legislator when Misabi Academy opened in 1998, and he was there to celebrate.
It's diversifying our economy. We need it. We know what's happening, and it's scary what's happening right now in the steel industry again.
But St. Louis County rarely sends its own kids to Misabi Academy. Judge David Ackerson's courtroom is just 12 miles from Misabi, but Ackerson says he hasn't sentenced a kid to serve time there in at least 10 years, and he doubts he ever will.
There's probably not a time that I can envision right now where I would make use of Misabi Academy for a juvenile on the range. I won't say categorically no. I got no problem with the programming at Misabi Academy so far as I know about it. I think it's just that there's other options that are more cost-effective.
When there are allegations of child maltreatment at Misabi Academy, it's the county's job to investigate. It's received close to 30 such reports in the last 4 years. The county opened its investigation into Mattson's allegations in October of last year, and Misabi began to push back. First, it objected that one of the investigators had ties to a labor union that had been trying to organize some of its employees. The county agreed to remove him from the case. In the meantime, the county had asked Misabi for a list of everyone in the building, both staff and residents. It took 3 weeks for the company to comply, and there was little the county could do about it.
We don't have any teeth.
Ann Bushy ran the St. Louis County Department of Public Health and Human Services at the time. She says Minnesota law puts counties in charge of investigating juvenile facilities, but the Department of Corrections is the only entity with any power over them.
We can provide information to the Department of Corrections as the licensing agency, but we have no authority to take any action as far as the operational aspects of that facility.
St. Louis County couldn't threaten Misabi's license, but it did have a contract with the facility. It wasn't a contract the county enforced vigorously. The contract required Misabi to send the county annual reports on its finances and residential population, and it hadn't sent one in years. But it was an important contract to Misabi Academy. The home, or lead county contract, sets the price other counties in Minnesota pay when they send kids there. And in December, Bushy announced she was ending it. That meant Misabi would have to find a new lead county or negotiate separate agreements with each of them. When other counties got the news, they had questions.
I was concerned.
Wright County Social Services Manager Michelle Miller asked for an explanation. Miller took detailed notes on the response she got from Bushy.
Her voicemail said the main reason why they weren't contracting with Mesabi is that St. Louis County didn't use Mesabi. And also that there was an open investigation that raised health and safety concerns.
St. Louis County gave an identical answer to Ramsey County. When county officials decide not to renew a contract due to health and safety concerns, state law requires them to share that information with other counties. But when Bushy responded to Isanti and Itasca counties a few days later, she kept her concerns to herself.
At the time, I felt, given the nature and gravity of the complaints that we would receive, that I did have health and safety concerns. However, upon further consultation with legal counsel, and due to the fact that the investigation was not complete, there were no findings, I was advised to change that statement.
We have been told that there was a legal threat against St. Louis County from Mesabi Academy, or from Kids Peace, its parent company, around this time. Is that correct?
I won't comment on that.
A St. Louis County official who asked not to be identified told APM Reports Kids Peace threatened to sue the county for defamation if it told other counties about its concerns. But even without Bushy making those comments, Mesabi Academy was having a hard time finding a new lead county. Several considered it, including Hennepin County. Jim Libra is the head of juvenile probation there. He told APM Reports in January he didn't want to take on the added responsibility of becoming Mesabi's lead county.
It's really important that we focus on our Hennepin County youth and not be concerned about other counties that may be referring, etc. So.
And you were approached by St. Louis County or by Kids Peace?
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
That you contact St. Louis County.
Okay.
For the latest.
The latest was that St. Louis County had abruptly reversed itself and decided to renew the contract.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in session.
The turning point came at a county board committee meeting on January 5th.
Commissioner Rukavina?
Here.
At the end of the meeting, County Commissioner Tom Rukavina said he'd recently spoken with a Mesabi Academy executive.
Because they're worried that if the St. Louis County doesn't continue as the host county in their host county contract, that it might screw everything up. And we have 126 employees at Mesabi Academy. We don't need the range to lose another 126 jobs, so I don't really...
Later that day, Rukavina, two other commissioners, and County Administrator Kevin Gray met privately with Bushy to discuss the issue.
In that meeting, it became pretty clear that this had gotten way more complicated and way more political than I ever anticipated it would. In addition, no other county was stepping forward to do the host county contract. So based on that, I decided, okay, we're just going to renew the host county contract.
And you made that decision?
I did make that decision.
Did you, at that point, still have health and safety concerns?
No, I did not.
Why not?
I mean, anytime we see allegations, we're concerned. So let's just say that. If the facility is cooperating and taking immediate actions, that helps to allay the concerns.
Mesabi Academy has recently increased the number of incidents it's reporting to the county. Since the beginning of the year, County Child Protection has already received at least 7 of them. Most were deemed too minor to warrant a formal investigation. One case remains active. The recently closed investigation included 20 allegations of maltreatment, but the county found there wasn't enough evidence to substantiate any of them. The mother of the boy, who says he had sexual contact with a staffer there last year, isn't satisfied.
I think it's bogus. This lady is going to get away with everything. Now she gets to work with kids again. She wants, because it'll be taken off her record. And now whose next kid she hurt?
In response to an inquiry from APM Reports, Mesabi Academy's parent company, Kids Peace, issued a statement. It said that it values its relationship with St. Louis County, viewing it as a partnership dedicated to ensuring the safety and well-being of the youth in its care. An email from a company spokesman concluded, quote, "We are confident that we have followed all applicable laws and have acted appropriately in all our interactions with St. Louis County." With Tom Scheck, I'm Curtis Gilbert for APM Reports.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.